Nung bata pa kaming magkakapatid, isa sa mga madalas ikagalit ng aming mga magulang at madalas naming ikapalo ay yung pagsusulat sa pader. You know, you get in trouble writing on walls. So that was us, and we are 5 siblings. I'm number 4. I got 3 older sisters and a younger brother. There was a time na pinapila kami ng aking mga magulang upang imbestigahan kung sino ang salarin, ang nagsulat sa pader. As our parents investigated the crime scene, they started the interrogation process by asking questions. I'll give you 3 questions na tinanong nila sa amin. First of all, tama ba ang magsulat sa pader? Of course, the answer is obvious. Hindi po. Okay? Mapaparusahan ba ang mahuhuling nagsulat sa pader? Opo. Nanginginig na kami, ano, pagdating sa ganun. At mapaparusahan din ba kapag may nagsinungaling at hindi niya sinabing siya? Opo. I'm not gonna tell you what happened. It didn't go down well. That's what all of us got in trouble. Now, I'm not sure kung alam ng mga magulang ko ang method na ginawa nila ayon sa kaibigan kong pastor. Ang tawag daw doon ay Socratic method. Okay, maybe some of you are familiar with that Socratic method. Ginagamit ito kadalasan ng mga law school professors or teachers or ng mga magulang tulad ng magulang ko as a form of argumentative dialogue by asking questions sa mga estudyante or children para ma-identify nila ang contradiction sa kanilang thinking and hopefully humantong sila sa tamang sagot. Again, my pastor friend said, it's ironic that often times questions teach us more than answers, which is so true. At ngayong umaga na ito, we will witness yung balikan ng dialogue or question and answer between the Almighty Creator God, Yahweh, and His chosen servant, Abraham. Welcome sa ating sermon series, the 4th week that we are studying the life of Abraham. Isa sa mga patriarch sa Genesis. He is known as the father of faith. Last week, nakita natin sa Genesis chapter 7 na God appeared kay Abraham, changed his name, and established a covenant sign para i-assure si Abraham na he will fulfill all of his promises made to him. God did this to strengthen yung faith ni Abraham, which is mayat maya nagfa-falter or nagwe-waver. Now, sa chapter 17 din, nakita natin na pinili ng Panginoon si Sarah, yung kanyang wife mismo, specifically designated her as God's chosen instrument for the birth of the promised son na si Isaac. And at the end of chapter 17, Abraham responds in obedience by faith, trusting the Lord, by circumcising lahat ng mga kalalakihan sa kanyang sangkabayanan. Dito po nahinto ang ating pag-aaral last week. Ngayong umaga naman, aaralin natin ang Genesis, obviously, chapter 18, at makikita naman natin that God assures this time, hindi si Abraham, Sarah. Assures Sarah of his promise. Makikita din natin ang heart ni Abraham sa lost, sa city ng Sodom, how God's greatness, righteousness, and mercy is displayed sa situation ng chapter 18. So, the main point or main idea of our sermon this morning is this. God is great and good. We can rest in Him. God is great and good. We can rest in Him. The passage is divided sa main point na ito. Number 1, God is great. Verses 1 hanggang 15. And number 2, God is good. Verses 16 to 13. At mamaya, magugulat kayo na itong 2 points na ito are answers to 2 questions. One asked by God and one asked by Abraham. At ito yung mga makikita nating sagot mamaya. So, let's jump right in sa ating first point. God is great. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 hanggang 8 as we read God's word ngayong umaga. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you please. Verse 6, and Abram went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, three sais of fine flour, knead it and make cakes or bread. Verse 7, and Abram ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. He stood by them under the tree while they ate. Now, yung timeline na to hindi natin matiyak, ano, kung yung panahon ng chapter 17 at saka chapter 18, kung ano yung pinaka-timeline na ito. Pero, it seems like it is the same year na naganap ito after ng circumcision, then nasunod itong visitation na ito from these three individuals. Now, what is the basis of this? Because of chapter 17. Sabi sa chapter 17, verse 21, Sarah shall bear to you a son at this time next year. Now, kung titingnan nyo yung chapter 18, twice na banggit yung the same instruction na ito. So verse 10 at verse 14, both tells us, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. So maaaring it's the same season, the same month, maaaring, or the same week. So we do not know, but it's the same year, clearly. So verse 1, nagsimula ang ating istorya nung tanghaling tapat na si Abraham ay nakaupuho malapit sa kanyang tent door sa ilalim ng malaking puno, sa ilalim ng shade ng puno, and from there is nagpapahinga. Kasi yung time po na ito is siesta time, so around 12 noon, nagpapahinga siya after the whole morning's work. He's probably exhausted and tired and probably gusto niyang umidlip. So sa verses 4 to 5, so let me back up. Marahil nung napaidlip siya, naalimpungatan siya at pagdilat niya, may nakita po siyang tatlong mga kalalakihan na dinalayo ng konti na nakatayo sa harapan niya. Nung nakita niya ito, agad-agad po siyang tumayo, tumakbo at lumuhod sa kanyang harapan, at he welcomed them and invited him magpahinga at magmerienda muna. We see that sa verses 4 hanggang 5. So, inalokan niya ng tubig, panghugas ng paa, para mapreskoan, because during that time, a means of travel ay laging nakapaa or nakasakay sa camel or mismo sa donkey. So, mabuhangin yung kanilang paa at marahil sa kainitan ng panahon ay makakatulong sa pag-cool down, sa pag-inugasan ho yung paa. So, and from there, paghahandaan daw niya ng kapirasong tinapay at kaunting tubig siguro na maiinom. Ngunit, kahit sinabi niya na bibigyan niya ng maliit na portion ng merienda, mapapansin natin sa verse 6 hanggang 8, hindi simpleng merienda yung pinahanda ni Abraham. So verse 6, nagpagawa siya ng mga tinapay. Tatlong takal ho ng magandang klaseng arena at gumawa ka ng masarap na tinapay, sabi niya kay Sarah. So verse 7, nagpataob ho siya ng matabang bata na baka o yung tinatawag po na guya at pinaluto agad. At hinain ng mga ito kasama ng mga keso at gata. So it was, hindi siya simple merienda, kundi isang feast sa mga bisita niya. Ito ay tinatawag na traditional Bedouin hospitality. Bedouin means a nomad, na Arab na nomad, na kung saan yung mga Arab na ito gusto tumira sa mga disyerto. And from there, when they receive unexpected visitors, they see that as God's providence, kaya wina-welcome nila ng ganong kabongga, no? And so from there, they've treated, Abram had treated them with honor and respect by providing a lavish meal sa mga bisitang ito, washing their feet and allowing them to rest bago sila pumaroon sa kanilang pupuntahan. Pero para kay Abram, it seems like he went beyond its cultural expectations. Abraham treated them with generous hospitality and respect. At habang kumakain ang mga bisita na natiling nakatayo, na parang waiter sa isang restaurant si Abraham, eager to serve kung may kinakailangan. Kasi gusto pa ng tubig, kulang ba yan? Magpapataw pa ba ako ng baka? So, he was just standing there, waiting, willing to serve. Now, para sa ating mga Pinoy, medyo familiar po tayo sa ganitong klaseng kaugalian o kultura. Na kapag may dumalaw sa atin na bisita, maplanado man ito o biglaan, agad-agad tayo nag-aalok ng merienda. So, coke, soft drinks. Hindi, mag-order na lang ako, magtatalabatin. Hindi mo na, and from there, mag-aaligaga tayo, maghahanda tayo ng pagkain. And I, for those of our members na alam ko na generous, I've been invited several times kami ni Dayan, na kung saan, oh, dadaan lang kami. Oh, sige, punta kayo. Pag din, may piesta, may pizza, may spaghetti, may pancit. Eh, dadaan lang kami. So I think this is very familiar para sa ating mga Pinoy. At minsan, kapag ginanahan ng kwento, inaabot yung merienda sa hapunan. At minsan yung hapunan, pag napasarap, agahan na ulit. That happened, I think, in some group nung Pasko. Fun times. And again, what I'm saying here is hindi ho naiba sa atin to. Now, para sa mga original audiences, again, Moses wrote this sa mga intended audiences niya. At para sa atin ngayon, alam natin na isa sa mga bisita ni Abraham ay si Yahweh or the Lord. Dahil sabi sa verse 1, kung mapapansin mo, the Lord, yung translation ng Lord na yan, is hindi master, hindi master kung hindi Yahweh. The Lord appeared to Abraham. Nakakamangha lang, nung binabasa ito, nakakamangha lang yung appropriateness ng generous hospitality ni Abraham sa mga bisita niya. I believe na hindi pa niya alam na si Yahweh yung kanyang kausap dito. Now, I want to stay on this point for a few minutes to point out sa New Testament ang pagiging hospitable, ang pagiging generous, ang pagiging servant-hearted ay ilan lamang sa mga marka ng isang tunay na Kristiyano. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I don't know about yung author ng Hebrews, mukhang he was meditating on Genesis chapter 18. Kasi this is exactly yung situation ni Abraham. Literally, ito po yung nangyayari. According naman sa Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, na those who will inherit the kingdom of God are those who are hospitable to their brothers and sisters, or a sign of those who will enter the kingdom of God, yung character trait are those who are hospitable. Sabi sa verse 35 ng chapter 25 ng Matthew, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 4, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1 tells us na isa sa mga qualifications po ng isang pastor or elders ay yung pagiging hospitable. Because hospitality is putting others' needs before po yung sa atin. It is seeking to serve others rather than to be served. Ito ang mga tao who loves welcoming people sa kanilang buhay. Love welcoming people sa kanilang bahay and are generous sa lahat ng aspects in serving these people. God has lavished His love kay Abraham, and so Abraham lavishes His love sa mga strangers na ito. Maaring wala tayong pagkakataon na paglingkuran ng ating Panginoon sa ganitong kapamamaraanan, pero may paraan na para paglingkuran ng Panginoon in a similar way. Friends, do you make an effort to welcome people into your lives? Remember yung method ng questioning? It's a question, but it's also an answer. Have you invited people into your homes in order to serve them? know them and how you can pray for them? Are you generous with your time, with your talents, and with your treasure? Are you using them to invest on the lives of brothers and sisters dito sa church? Kapag dumarating ka sa crossroads, are you looking forward to always be served? Or are you looking forward to serve? Abram's heart posture reveals his love for God. Does your heart posture right now reveal your love for the Lord? Or does it reveal a different type of love, a different object of love, of your love? Generous hospitality and serving brothers and sisters cannot save us, just to make that clear. Hindi po nakakapagpatawad ng kasalanan yun, hindi po nakakapagligtas sa kasalanan. But it will reveal who we really love. It will tell us if we do really love Jesus. Maybe God has already placed people in your minds as I speak right now. Maybe God has already been mentioning these people sa heart mo, but you are somehow too busy or too neglectful or you procrastinate. Friends, if you're hearing this and the Lord is speaking to your heart right now, do it. Do it. John chapter 13, verse 35 tells us, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples." And this is Jesus speaking. "If you have love from one another." Ang pag-ibig mo ba sa kapatiran sa Panginoon ay nakikita, nararamdaman, at tangible? Hindi, Pastor, mahal ko yan, pinagpe-pray ko yan. Praise God. Praise God. Put wings to those prayers. Love them practically. And one way of loving God's people is being on church every Sunday. Sing to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody to the Lord, encouraging one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Do not neglect, because these are opportunities. Every Sunday are opportunities for you to love brothers and sisters. Don't miss out that blessing. Don't be disobedient. Tinawag ng mga ang situation ni Abraham has paved the way to have a much deeper conversation sa mga kanyang bisita. Basahin naman natin ang verses 9 hanggang 15. Chapter 18, same chapter, 9 hanggang 15. "And they said to him, 'Where is Sarah, your wife?' And he said, 'She is in the tent.' The Lord said, 'I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son.' And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure?' The Lord said to Abraham, 'Why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child and now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son.' But Sarah denied it, saying, 'I didn't laugh, for she was afraid.' And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" A little bit of humor going on there in that dialogue, no? Kung mapapansin nyo. Now, tinanong ng mga bisita, "Nasa'y asawa mo, si Sarah?" Now, for that Middle Eastern culture, these things you don't ask. That's quite offensive, no? Lalo na, mahanapin mo pa yung asawa, tapos yung pangalan pa binanggit. But I'm glad na may kasunod na sinabi ang Panginoon para doon na nagkaroon probably ng idea si Abraham na hindi ito ordinaryong bisita. And then itong question was followed up by reinstating the promised child through Sarah next year. Kung hindi nakuha ni Abraham kung bakit alam ng mga estranghero ang pangalan ng kanyang asawa, marahil siguro dito nauunawaan na niya na ang kaharap na niya ay ang Panginoon. Kasi just a few days, just a few weeks marahil, we don't know, but it's the same month, same time, the Lord said the same thing sa kanya. Through Sarah, you shall have a son. Ang pangalan niya si Isaac. So that probably triggered a memory which is seen in chapter 17, verse 21. Isa sa agenda, and here's something sweet. Isa sa mga agenda why God made the visitation kay Abraham. Alam niyo ko ano? Here's isa sa mga agenda. Upang bigyan ng assurance si Sarah of the promises. So in short, Sarah kasama ka rito ha. Hindi lang si Abraham to. Alam mo yan, I could imagine just heavy emotions. Nandyan si Hagar, baka siya na nga yung anak, ilang taon na, 24, 25 years, tapos ito pa maririnig ko. But of course, we will see yung response niya mamaya. Okay? God wants to strengthen Sarah's faith. Kasi Sarah's faith needs strengthening katulad ng ginawa ng Panginoon kay Abraham. Ginawa ng Panginoon niya sa chapter 17. Sarah's faith also faltered, if you would remember. Siya yung mismo nag-initiate about kay Hagar na yun na lang ang magiging promised child, which is hindi naman. So God made that special visitation. Pwede naman siya dumiretso sa Sodom, which is gagawin niya later, pero he stopped. He made that special visitation to inform Sarah, to strengthen her faith. Nakasama ka sa promise. Friends, do you know of a brother or sister right now na nanghihina sa kanyang pananampalataya na kailangan mong bisitahin mamaya upang paalalahanan ng mga pangako ng Diyos? Or maybe someone na dapat kasama natin ngayon sa church and you have not seen them for some time. Could it be that the Lord is leading you right now to schedule a special visitation next week, tomorrow, later, in order to strengthen the faith of that brother or sister in Christ? If you do, that's not just sweet, but that's loving. Si Sarah na nasa loob ng tent, malapit sa pintuan, nakikiding ng patago. At nung nadinig niya yung conversation na yun, that I believe God sovereignly allowed her to hear, is bigla siyang napatawa. Alam niyo yung parang, hindi ka dapat maingay na tumawa dahil ayaw mo mahuli na nakikinig ka. Yung eavesdropping ba? Ay, Sarah, ay mabubuntis. Malamang gumagano pa yung mga shoulders. Natawa siya sa idea na 90 na tayo. 90 na. Would 90 years old, would I indulge myself with sexual intimacy? Tanda na rin ng asawa ko. Which of course, the New Testament commended her because she called him my Lord or Master. She was commended by that sa New Testament because of her faith. Pero sa part na ito, she was just like, teka muna. And I think, well, let's be slow to judge si Sarah. Malamang kung ikaw yun. I heard many stories of couples trying to get impregnated yung kanyang asawa in age of 50. Lo and behold, nabuntes. And nasundan pa the following year. So that was 50 and this is 90. And it's just amazing how she's describing herself, worn out. Worn out. You know, yung language na worn out na ginagamit sa Bible, ginagamit niya yung pagluma na, yung damit, yung tsinelas, yung laspag na. So literally, she was like, yeah, medyo. At saka yung way ng women or yung menstrual period, wala na. Hindi na ako nagkakaroon ng menstruation. So, paano yun? Moses gave a comment sa verse 11. Hindi niya iniwan lang yung mismong sinabi ni Sarah. And he made it a lot more impossible. Tingnan naman sinabi niya ni Moses sa verse 11. By saying that she passed the menstrual stage, it is humanly impossible for her to get pregnant. And then, ito yung response mismo ni Sarah. Laughed to herself. Ganon din ang ginawa ni Abraham, di ba, last week? Mas malakas lang siguro yung tawa ni Abraham. Malamang may snort pa yung pag-ganon pa si Abraham. Pero siya, di talaga pinipigilan niya. No? Laugh to herself could mean silent laughter in hopes na hindi siya marinig o mahuli. Like Abraham laughed in disbelief, this is also a sign of her disbelief. In a very logical reason, you can understand. Then the Lord confronted Sarah. Isipin mo, nandito siya, nandun yung ang Panginoon sa labas. Tapos sabi sa verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" You remember yung intro natin about yung asking question? The question is also the answer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The question demands an obvious answer na, no! Nothing is too hard for God is great. That's why in yung point number one. God is great. God can do anything. He can do the impossible, which I'm echoing yung point natin last week. God came to strengthen Sarah's faith with His promises. Yes, but He also came to highlight His greatness. That's kung saan it's humanly impossible na magkaroon sila ng anak. It is impossible pero sa Panginoon. It is possible to happen ito because God is great. Brothers and sisters, we must marvel at this. God wants Sarah to have a high view of God. Friends, do you have a high view of God? Or have you shrunk God to a human-sized level na parang genie in the bottle na anytime na gusto mo, nandyan lang siya. Pag hindi mo siya kailangan, pababalikin mo siya. Have you shrunk Him to a human-sized level, someone like you, a mere mortal, limited, weak, and dispensable? Maybe you know great things about God. Maybe you do, praise God. Pero the way you live out your life right now, yung life of faith, ay isang malaking contradiction sa paniniwala mo. Again, that equates to a low view of God. Listen, God wants Abraham and Sarah to have a high view of who He is. Kaya nilagay sila ng Panginoon dalawa sa isang situation that is beyond their control, beyond what they're able to think or do for themselves. So God, here's the purpose, gets the glory, not man. So verse 15, Sarah denied to the Lord, na natawa siya. Hindi ko natawa. Actually, the mere fact na sumagot siya, na dapat hindi siya sumasagot, assuming na dapat hindi siya naririnig, sumagot siya. And the Lord responded back, natawa ka. And which gives us an idea, yung pangalan ng kanilang anak. Yun ang ibig sabihin ng kanilang anak, is laugh. Which is ginawa yun ni Abraham at ginawa rin ng kanyang asawa. This might have surprised or shocked Sarah even more. Kasi the Lord knows her heart. Friends, it is also true for us this morning. God knows your heart. God knows the difficult circumstances you're facing right now. If you think nobody knows, He knows. Friends, God is great, and nothing is too hard for Him. The Lord is able to strengthen and sustain His people in difficult times. Sa pakikipaglaban mo sa kasalanan, God can strengthen your faith and sustain you. As you share the gospel to unbelieving friends and loved ones, God can provide you strength and sustain you. Children, the Lord is greater. The Lord is bigger than all of your fears right now. You can take comfort in that truth because He can strengthen and comfort you. The Lord can sustain and strengthen as you make difficult, God-honoring, Christ-exalting decisions sa life mo ngayon. And we can rest in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." It's okay to be weak. It's okay to confess that you cannot. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Nakita din natin how the Lord has been faithful and patient kay Abraham and Sarah amidst wavering faith. Friends, despite our faithlessness, Hasn't the Lord been faithful to you and your family? I know it sounds subjective, but pause right now, think about it. Look, of all of the overwhelming concerns or issues na pinagdadaanan mo ngayon, feeling na wala nakakaintindi sa akin, Lord, kailangan kaya, how long? Pause, look back. In retrospect, see how the Lord has been faithful to you personally and to your family. He is faithful and He has been patient sa'yo. This is grace. We can trust Him because He is great. The Lord's visitation encouraged Sarah's faith by telling her that she would bear the promised son and he will be the heir ng mga promises na ibinigay niya kay Abraham to be a blessing to many nations. This is difficult. No human being can do that. Yes to a human, but not to God. Hundreds of years after that visitation, there was another visitation. Another visitation from the Lord's messenger to another woman na impossible ding mabuntis. Pero this time, she was a virgin. This woman will also bear another son. But this son is the promised son who will be the blessing to many nations. Ang dalagang ito, with all her human logic, understands that it was humanly impossible for her to get pregnant. Then the angelic being replied to her, sa Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." This promised son is the promised Messiah, whose name is Jesus, who will save His people from every nation, from every time, from their sins. Jesus, the God-man, lived a life that is impossible for us to live. Perfect righteousness, and died the death that all of us deserved. His death on the cross paid our sins in full and was raised to life so that God would declare those who believe in Him righteous. That is an invitation for us right now to turn away from this life of sin and turn to God for salvation. Trust Jesus for salvation. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Quick answer, wala. Because God is great. And we can rest in Him. Not only God is great, but He's also good. Which is yung point number two in last point natin. God is good. Let's read verse 16 hanggang 24 naman. Turn your Bibles there. Verse 16 hanggang verse 24. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become great and mighty nation, that all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what has promised him." Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I would go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." Verse 22, "So the man turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, 'Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? That was bold. Verses 17 hanggang 21, the Lord was conversing sa dalawang lalaki na kasama niya. Now, we can safely assume these were angels, angelic beings. Itong conversation na ito is clearly naririnig ni Abraham. Clearly naririnig. Sabi niya sa verse 17, the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Again, that question answers, obviously, no. Okay? Hindi ko pwede itago. Ayon sa verse 19, hindi itatago ng Diyos ito ang plano niya kay Abraham kasi, and here's the reason, he is God's chosen man. Ang language na ito, which is very interesting, ang language na ito, the God's chosen man, means I have known him. Or here's a better term, I have made him my friend. Dito po, first time na tinawag si Abraham, he is a friend of God. By God's grace, he makes Abraham his friend. Kaya makikita natin sa 2 Chronicles chapter 20, James chapter 2, and Isaiah 41, na si Abraham ay tinawag na the friend of God. Then he recounts how Abraham will be great and mighty, a mighty nation, and that all the nations of the earth will be blessed because sa kanya. At siya ang pinili ng Panginoon na turuan ng nation na ito na magmumula sa kanya to keep the Lord's commands. Live righteous lives and do justice. These people, this nation, na kung saan manggagaling kay Abraham, will be a representation of who God is to the watching world. Will be a representation of what God is like in the midst of a dark, wicked world. Dahil alam niya sa mga... Now, here's what's happening. God tells Abraham his plans na he is investigating Sodom, sabi sa verses 20 hanggang 21. Dahil sa wickedness ng city ay nakarating sa kanya. Of course, God is all-knowing. He already knows this. Now, this is probably raised... Nung sinabi ng Panginoon, this probably raised a concern kay Abraham. Now, dahil alam mismo ni Abraham yung kwento ng kanilang mga ninuno. Alam niyo ba yung mga kwento ng mga ninuno ni Abraham? Na kung saan that God is known to be holy, that God is known to be just, God is known to judge wicked and sinful people, na kung saan ang kanilang mga ninuno, God has judged the world through a flood. He found out, he knows about that. A worldwide flood that killed all living creatures except Noah, yung kanyang family, and a few animals. He knows this. Abraham knows this. Ang dahilan kung bakit ginawa ng Panginoon ito ay dahil sa lumalalang kasalanan ng mundo. The holy God has every right to judge sin and wickedness. Now, hearing this sa sinabi ng Panginoon, yung wickedness outcry na karating sa akin, he definitely knows what's going to happen. He knows kung ano ang itsura ng Sodom and Gomorrah. He knows kasi na-encuentro na niya yung city na ito. Hindi niya pinili yung lugar na yun. Pinili ni Lot yun ng kanyang pamangkin because he knows how wicked the people are. And then hearing God saying, the outcry ay nakarating sa akin. And he is holy. And the only logical thing na pwedeng isipin ni Abraham is, they're doomed. They're going to be destroyed. So verse 22. I'm sorry. Let me back up. Now hearing this sa bibig ng Panginoon, this build restlessness kay Abraham. So verse 22, yung dalawang kasamahan ng Panginoon, which are angels, proceeded sa Sodom, pero si Abraham ay naiwan sa Panginoon. Dito natin makikita yung amazing dialogue, mga palitan ng salita, palitan ng mga tanong kay Abraham and the Lord. And Abraham, knowing that he is a friend of God, leans towards that. He knows my relationship ako sa Panginoon. I know I can lean. I know I can intercede. I know I can pray. I know I can talk to this being, this God, because I have a relationship with him. In order to make bold requests. Basahin po natin. Verse 23 hanggang 33. Ng chapter 18. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose that there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such thing, to put the righteous to death and the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abram answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, behold, I am undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry. I will speak again. But this once, suppose 10 are found there. And then he answered, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy. Verse 33, and the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Abraham shows deep concern sa Sodom and Gomorrah. At maaaring isa sa mga dahilan dito ay dahil nandun yung kanyang kamag-anak. Si Lot, yung kanyang pamangkin at yung kanyang mga pamilya. Pero the much compelling reason why he was moved to compassion, dahil kilala ni Abraham ang Diyos. He knows God. He knows him to be holy and righteous, and that his righteousness demanded justice against all wicked sinners. And he knows that God is true to his word, that God is true to his promises. And so nagkaroon siya ng great compassion sa isang city of people that will die to their sins. And so he not only intercedes to the Lord sa kanyang pamangkin at kanyang pamilya, but for the whole city. Sabi sa verse 25, and this is coming from Abraham, Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Or let me back up. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Ano bang sinasabi ni Abraham dito? Ano yung tinatanong niya? Sinatanong niya is this, Lord, wouldn't you do what is right? Madadama yung mga mabubuti sa mga masasama, mamamatay rin sila. Lord, aren't you good? You see how yung question again na tinatanong niya isn't the answer? And the answer is yes. God is good. God is just. God will do what is right. And Abraham and we can rest on this. So he's arguing, yes, Lord, you are a just God and you are a good God at hindi mo idaramay ang mga mabubuti at paparusahan sila kasama ng masasama. Lord, I know you will not judge the righteous kasama ang mga unrighteous. Yun yung sinasabi niya. Kaya he humbly and respectfully started asking series of questions, which is also a form of prayer, interceding for people who most of them, 99.9%, hindi niya kilala, yet may compassion siya sa mga yon, interceding for them, praying for their souls and their lives. So verse 26 to 33, tinanong niya, kung may 50 na matuwid o righteous people, itutuloy mo pa rin ba ang pagwasak ng city, Lord? Of course, we know yung God's answers. God said, no. Hindi ko itutuloy kapag may nakita akong 50 taong matitino doon. Of course, hindi siya nakontento ron, ano? Sinabi niya, pero Lord, and again, he makes this bold, respectful request or question, and he asks, Lord, paano kung 45? Lord, paano kung 30? 20? Sige, Lord, last na. 10. Some scholars argue na bakit daw huminto, may mga nagtatanong bakit daw huminto sa 10. Di pa sinagad ni Abraham, ano? Some scholars argue na some 10 daw ang pinakamaliit na unit for a community. So yun ang sabi ng ibang mga scholars, kaya sabi ni Abraham, huminto siya ron. May mga nagsasabi naman na na-exhaust na raw yung negotiating skills ni Abraham at sa kahiyaan na lang siguro huminto. Like ako, eh, God is being patient. Well, God was really patient with him. Ayaw naman daw niya sagarin. So, kaya hindi na raw siya naghagel. Hindi natin alam kung bakit huminto sa sampu. I'm not sure kung napag-usapan ninyo ito sa community groups. For those of you who do not know community groups, it's a Bible study group that meets every week. So if you're not part of a community group, what we do is we study the passage before Sunday so we would come to church ready. Now, if you're not part of a community group, I encourage you, and dito yung bulletin natin, take it home, may mga numbers dyan, communicate to one of our community group leaders or co-leaders. Now, I'm not sure kung napag-usapan ninyo ito, pero naisip nyo din ba na ililigtas kaya ng Panginoon ang city for 9 righteous people? How about for 8? How about for 5? Kung itutuloy natin yung negotiations. How about 3? Would God spare the city for 3 righteous people? How about 2? Would God spare the city for 1 righteous person? The problem, sa Sodom and Gomorrah, there is not one righteous person. Apart from the mercies at grace ng Panginoon, Lot is not righteous. Wala siyang saliring righteousness that would be pleasing sa Panginoon. Mga kaibigan, ito ang kalagayan ng mga tao sa city ng Dubai. Romans 3:10-12. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Wala ni isa sa atin ay may sariling righteousness that will spare us from God's final judgment. That is far worse and horrible than the judgment of Sodom. And we, and this is a shocking, probably sa atin, deserve it. We have offended the holiness of God because of our sins. Walang judgment, remember, walang judgment ang Panginoon na hindi righteous. Would God spare sinners for one truly righteous person? And the answer is yes. God will spare the wicked for one truly righteous person. For the sake of one truly righteous person, he will extend his mercy and grace upon wicked sinners. And he will do it for the sake of the promised Son, the truly righteous one, Jesus Christ. God made him to knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in Christ we might become the righteousness of God. Because of one truly righteous person, many shall be spared, many shall be saved, many shall be called friends of God. For those of you who are my brothers and sisters, you know what joy and satisfaction to have a relationship with God through His Son. For those of you who are not sure, there's only one way to make it right with God, and it is through Jesus Christ, the perfect, holy God and holy man, truly God, truly man, who lived a life that we could not and died the death that we deserved. I urge you, I plead you, if you are part of this city, this is your hope now. Repent from your sins. Place your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. Receive the promised one, who is the truly righteous one. Friends, have you trusted the righteous one? Do you have a heart for the lost sa city ng Dubai? City is a fast-paced place. we become very busy. We could become very, and sometimes sa sobrang busy ng schedule, sobrang daming ginagawa, we become agitated, angry people. And sometimes everybody na humaharang sa atin becomes somehow an impediment para sa atin. Sadly, including yung family natin, we must repent. Do you have a heart like Abraham for the lost of this city? Have you started praying for people to come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the spread of the gospel to this nation? I know some of you have invited friends today. If you have been invited, welcome. We try not to do anything fancy. We try to do things unoriginal. What we're trying to do right now is trying to be faithful. And if you're here today, and I always say this, mahal ka ng tao na yan, for you to hear this gospel of truth. That person loves you, and that person loves this city. If nawawala na yung pag-ibig dati sa city because it's dirty, it's because it's too, basta marami tayong mga comments about it. Think about the souls in this city. Una natin lumayo, think about Dera. Kung saan tayo nilagay ng Panginoon. There's a reason why God brought us here, and that is to herald the gospel. That is to be a community that would adorn the gospel to make Christ look beautiful. Are you praying for the lost? Your friends? Your neighbors? Kamag-anak? Mahal sa buhay? Kapamilya? Kaaway? God is great and God is good. He will judge the ungodly and He will save those who flee to the righteous one for refuge. And He will spare His judgment to the wicked as they seek refuge in this truly righteous one, Jesus. God is great and good. That's why we can rest in Him. Let's pray. Panginoon, thank you. Thank you sa inyong great and amazing grace sa amin. Lord, tulungan niyo po kami. Tulungan niyo po kami to pray merciful prayers to others. Lord, help us to love our enemies. Lord, help us to live in righteousness. Lord, help us to know how you love us, how you show mercy to us, not for our sake, but for the sake of others, that we may embody that love to those who need you. Lord, we are thankful for today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.